Blow the horn. Let's go.
In everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's the someplace they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, yes.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Dominate the guy you're playing against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. End zone.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Tom, Saturday was like a cheap barbecue buffet. Lots of overhyped, second-rate pork products. But feast we did, to the tune of 52-0, handing Arkansas their worst home defeat in over 90 years. What had you going back for seconds and thirds?
Man, I was just really surprised that Arkansas came into this game with the game plan that they did, you know, with the two quarterback system, the running quarterback, the passing quarterback. I thought they had a good scheme early in the game with the running quarterback and doing that zone run scheme. And they kind of went away from that when the game was still close and, you know, put in the redshirt freshman quarterback. And once you had some turnovers, it kind of went downhill from there.
Well, the turnovers definitely crippled them. You know, they gave us the ball a number of times in a variety of ways. They had to play flawless or near flawless, and they had to optimize what they could do or what they did to have any chance. They seemed to do none of that. They had moments, but they were just moments where they made a couple of first downs, not even big drives.
Well, I was very surprised when I heard after the game the Arkansas coach, who obviously was the special teams coach under Petrino from 2009 to 2011, he apparently admitted after the game somewhere that he had replaced his long snapper prior to the game for another long snapper who was better at covering the punts. And so he put his second string guy in there to snap the ball, and then he snaps it over the punter's head. How ironic is that when he was the former special teams coach under Petrino?
Well, I find that interesting. You know, covering kicks, it's not like we have a prolific return game. And so I would think the first priority would be successfully kicking the ball, which requires a successful snap. So I find it interesting that he was, you know, kind of he was worried about three steps ahead, which really was not something, you know, would not prolific returning the ball this year. So that's kind of interesting.
It is. And I know we start with offense. I just had to get that in there first because here he is, a special teams coach, right? That's his specialty. So I just thought that was funny. Hey, what'd you think about Eddie Lacy? He seemed to run with a little bit. Maybe he feels somebody biting at his heels a little bit.
No, we talked last week about the most pressure that Eddie's feeling is pressure that he's putting on himself. And he seemed very healthy. He seemed, you know, maybe not back to normal, but he seemed pretty darn close. I certainly made note of how he was playing, and we had a lot of short fields, you know, with all the turnovers. But he looked very powerful. He looked back to form. I'm glad to see him back. We're going to need him as the season wears on.
Well, let me clarify. You had said pressure on himself. I'm saying nipping at his heels. I think he sees how TJ's running. And I think he sees that starting job slowly slipping away.
Well, that's fine. I think we're saying the same thing, just differently. I think that he's been battling to come back, and he certainly had a showing on Saturday. And I'm pleased to see him. We're going to need both of them and more as the season wears on.
Well, hey, listen, after the big fumble, which kind of seemed to have, you know, given us a spark, did you notice that we went to the no huddle right after that big right after that big series where we got the quick score? The next time out, the offense goes to the no huddle early in the series. And I thought that was good. They got a quick first down, went to the no huddle, and kind of changed things up a little bit.
Well, I could kind of kid with you and ask after which fumble, after which quick score, but the point's valid. We definitely came out in some no huddle, showed a little different wrinkle. I think that helped us get some continuity, contributed to us getting and maintaining continuity on offense. And again, it just puts something else in film, which is what Saban likes to do, is put a healthy menu of items for opposing coaches to have to look at and break down.
Hey, what else jumped out at you on offense? What caught your eye?
Well, I just thought, just across the board, I just thought we were very machine-like. You know as well as anybody, any play can go for a touchdown, but not every play is designed to go for a touchdown. Not every play is designed to gain 80 yards. You may leave a man uncovered. You may make create a one-on-one situation. And every play that was seemingly designed to go for 4 to 6 to 8 to 9 yards went for about 7 yards. Every play that we just had success at every turn and just methodically drove the ball down the field. We just seemed very machine-like, very efficient, and at the end of the day, very productive. That's what really stood out to me the most on offense.
Well, and I think the what McCarron brings to the table throwing the ball, I mean, take nothing away from McElroy because he was a good all-around guy you can depend on. He would make the safe throw. He would manage the offense. He was smart. He could call, you know, checks at the line of scrimmage. But I think A.J. having that little extra spark in his arm, if you would, that ability to, you know, to put it down the field 40, 50 yards, it just brings a whole new dynamic to this offense. And, you know, as he continues to mature, that I don't think you and I have seen, you know, as a Bama fan for quite some time.
He can throw the ball down the field. He can throw the ball in tight windows. You know, we can go to a passing offense if we need to. But then with the power run game backing that up, I think we have the chance, and we're demonstrating that we're going to be pretty prolific on offense.
There was a couple great play calls that I just wanted to talk about from the offensive coordinator. You know, there was a play on 1st and 19 after we had just had a hold called, and we got backed up and on Amari Cooper's score, where Amari Cooper and Christian Jones are wide left. And we throw a quick pass out to Amari Cooper, and Jones lays a great block, and he scores from 19 yards out at 1st and goal. And, you know, that little quick hitch out there like that in that formation with what they bring to the table, I just thought that was a nice play call that I guess we don't run enough as that I'd like to see as an Alabama fan.
No, that was a very good a good wrinkle on offense. It was good to see two very young wide receivers, a true sophomore, a true freshman, out there making plays. I have felt in our previous games that maybe we were trying to force the ball to Amari. I think Saban really recognizes the upside that he has. I was glad that we were able to get him the ball there and get a score under his belt. Maybe he'll settle down. Maybe our desire to kind of get one on his roster will go down, and he'll really emerge. I think that he has a lot of talent. I look for good things for him. And then with Christian Jones, his blocking kind of selfless play there, I'm excited about our young receiving core.
When Amari brings a knife, you know, he's very physical too, right? The fact that he ran over the guy was nice to see, that he's got some quickness to him, but he's got some toughness also.
He does, and he's got some size. He's kind of wiry. He's a little bit lanky, and he'll get bigger as he goes on. But yeah, he's willing to lower his head and make a play. I'm very pleased with the way he played. Like I said, I thought we were trying to force it to him in the first two games.
Right.
But, you know, I thought he came out big, and that was a nice touchdown for him to get.
Hey, what do you think if you're D Hart right now? I don't want to pick on him because he hadn't done anything wrong, but you and I talked a little bit at other Bama games in the stands about this, and maybe we should just, you know, touch on this briefly. But if you're D Hart right now and you finish the game with 4 carries and a senior walk-on named Jay Howell finishes with 6 carries, are you scratching your head right now?
Well, Ben Howell, the former walk-on.
Oh, yeah, excuse me, Ben.
Yeah, we – you know, we were trying to, you know, who can we roll out there at running back so we can run the ball and there really not be a threat of scoring, I think was really what we were going for at that point. But I took a little different note on D Hart. I thought he ran hard. You know, if we're just counting carries, then that, you know, maybe that's one thing. But I thought he put his head down. I thought he ran hard when he had the ball. He made a big play on special teams.
Maybe that got him fired up a little bit.
Well, I think he has a little motivation, and without question, you know, he sees that he's being passed potentially, you know, by one freshman already, and then potentially another with Kenyon just right there.
Right.
I think he knows that he needs to step up. This is his opportunity, and he needs to before, you know, it quickly goes away. But I thought he really stepped up and played hard.
Well, if I'm him, I'm just scratching my head at this point with the number of carries. Speaking of Kenyon Drake, you know, another good game to put on tape for Coach Saban.
Yeah, he played really hard. He seems to like the off tackle runs, But he had a little juke move on a play, and I was glad to see him get a touchdown. But he looks really good. I think that he's going to be a player, and he's going to have an emerging role as the season wears on. Not to get too hard and too far in advance talking about Florida International, but you know, I would not be surprised if Drake were the leading rusher this next week, just because the game will be over early and we'll be looking for carries for younger guys.
Right. You know, going back to the Ben Howe thing for a second, it kind of reminds me when Eddie Lacy, you know, oops, and broke one from midfield to add, you know, to add another score to a game that was in the books. And you notice Coach Saban pulling Blake Sims to the side after Blake Sims did that zone read and ran that touchdown. You know, it looked to me like he was saying, boy, you were supposed to hand the ball to Howe. You weren't supposed to keep it.
Well, I thought that was a scout team special, you know, doing a zone read. And I can hear Coach Saban, you know, saying, and almost in the vernacular, you know, when we run the rushing quarterback, Blake Sims is kind of running back, wide receiver, quarterback kind of guy. And so when we take our slash quarterback and run the zone read, I can almost hear, you know, Saban say, well, if you people, and he's talking about, you know, opposing teams, if you people are going to make us practice this stuff, then don't be surprised to see us run it in a game.
Right. I just thought it was funny. It was like, you know, he was probably saying, I'm glad you scored, but I really wish you wouldn't have scored. We were already up by 40 something points.
We were, but I just got the biggest kick out of him running his own read, which is not what we do. And so, you know, how many defensive coordinators looking at that tape are going to fall out of their chair and say, holy shit, they can run his own read too with this quarterback that what's his name again? I don't know.
Hey, there was another good play call that I wanted to ask you about, you know, in the goal line when Jesse comes back in the game. I just thought it was nice to see that, you know, with the loss of Fowler, we bring Jesse in the fullback formation. And did you see when he goes left that the whole defensive line slants his way? And then they take Chase Warmack and they literally just take Chance and peel him down the right line to kick out the end. It was just a nice play call. I mean, he and the running back are the only guys that go to the right for an easy score.
Yeah, I thought that was a very nice play. I got a kick out of seeing Jesse in there at the fullback position, and you know, really in that I back formation in the red zone there. I just got a kick out of. We talked last week about how many different individuals will need to step up and replace Jocelyn Fowler. I don't know that I had Jesse Williams on the list, but it's kind of funny to see that that he was on someone's mind.
Well, it kind of reminds us a few years ago when Saban first got here, right? When we didn't have a fullback that we were comfortable with at the goal line. And so saw Terrence Cody in there.
Yeah, we put Cody in. And so we had Fowler. We had, you know, a running back that we could feel comfortable with that had size. And now he's out. And so we're just going, you know, it's just coach kind of going back to what he does. You know, who's the next guy in that kind of, you know, elephant package, if you will, that can step up. And, you know, Jesse's a big bruiser. And so why not?
Anything else about Christian Jones? I think he made the most of his opportunities. We kind of spread the ball around, and you know, he only had three catches, but it was nice to see that we protected the quarterback and allowed him to do that long slant pattern. And it was nice to see him, you know, AJ just throw it to the sideline and him run underneath it.
Yeah, that was very nice. He had 74 yards in his three catches, and so he was uber productive. You know, he had that block. He just seems like a selfless player, and he's going to be that guy that's always there, kind of quietly getting catches and piling up yards. And he's a big time contributor for us. I like this Christian Jones kid.
We'd be remiss if we didn't touch on the quarterback situation. You know, you and I read after the Western Kentucky game that, you know, it's a battle for the backup quarterback between Eli and Sims. And what do you think in the first half, when we bring in Phillip early and then we bring in Sims at the end of the first quarter for one play, and then we bring Phillip right back in on a drive?
Yeah, I thought we kind of mixed them up. I you know, it's kind of like
say third quarter. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we talked about last week is, you know, Phillip came in and was the backup in the first week, and then, you know, and then Blake, and then, well, you know, which is it, which is the backup? We kind of went back and forth, and we didn't have really an answer for it. And it's funny that, you know, Saban says, well, you're not going to get an answer, because in two successive plays, I'm going to play both of them. And so there's no more clarity than there was who's truly the backup. I'll tell you this, though, if you're kind of peeling it back and starting to wonder who is more likely to get the more reps, I thought that Blake demonstrated significantly more arm strength than Phillip. I thought that Phillip's balls, and it's not that they were weak necessarily. They certainly didn't have the zip of a McCarron. And I thought Blake, I don't think he necessarily had the zip of a McCarron either, but I thought there was a noticeable drop-off in arm strength between AJ and Phillip.
Well, I would agree with that. And I thought it was interesting, though, when he did bring Phillip in right there in the third quarter mark, that Phillip got to play the back half of the third quarter with the first string offensive line. And so he was like giving him the best opportunity for protection and those kind of things. And then when poor Sims came in, he was with the backups.
Yeah, and that's true. And they've both played with the starter some in the prior two games. And so, you know, you have to get real granular to kind of see maybe where coach has a preference. I don't know that necessarily we could discern it. I would have thought clearly that it was Phillip, but now kind of almost out of nowhere, Blake seems to be carving out a role, and situationally we may have dual backup quarterbacks. Which is,
wait a minute, is this one of these things that you always talk about? So maybe Blake Sims can be the starting zone read quarterback.
If we want to go to extremes, yes, we can have a starting backup quarterback that's situationally one way, and a starting backup quarterback that's situationally in another. And I think Saban would grin and kind of wink at us if he heard us say that.
Well, you know, we've never covered this, but we do this for kickers, right? Are we the only team in the SEC that's got a long kicker and a short kicker?
The only team that I'm aware of, but I'm sure it's not unique, but it seems definitely rare.
Hey, what else on offense caught your eye?
I'm going to say one more thing about another demonstration of us missing Fowler, and it was kind of neat to see Jesse come in and play fullback, but on a touchdown run. On another touchdown run, Kelly Johnson was lined up in that halfback fullback position, and he laid a block. You know, we scored a touchdown. And he hit his man, the defensive end, just enough to slow the defensive end up. But it was the defensive end who really pushed, kind of ragdolled Kelly out of the way. And by the time he got to Lacey, all he could do is reach out and grab an ankle, and really didn't affect the play. But what stood out to me is, you know, Kelly went out there, gave everything that he had. It was not enough to really reroute the defensive end, whereas Jostin probably – certainly would have walled the guy off, maybe would have knocked him down. And so that's something that it was subtle, easy to miss. We scored a touchdown. We celebrate that play. But that's something that really stood out to me, that, you know, we've got these guys stepping in for Jostin, and we can't replace them.
No, that's a good point. He definitely was outmanned on that play, and just goes to show you that we might see the I formation at the goal line like we did with Cody. But we might not see the I very much. It might just be a one-back formation whenever – we might just have a deep I formation with just a single back.
Yeah, I think we'll see – I think we'll see Jesse in there again. Short yardage, be that on the goal line or, you know, a critical first down. I think we'll see it again, but we won't be able to be as multiple. I think we'll be pretty vanilla as to what we're going to do. We're going to line it up and run it out of that type of formation. Where with Fowler in there, we could split them out, and all of a sudden we go to maybe more of a passing approach. So I think that we'll continue to see it. We just won't be as multiple out of it.
Well, hey, jumping to defense for a second, I really thought Arkansas had a good thing going early in that game before that bad snap on the punt. I mean, their former backup quarterback, converted wide receiver, now back to, you know, half starting quarterback.
Yeah, Brandon Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, they were having some good success early in the game. They were giving us some stuff that, you know, we're always talking about Saban being prepared, but, you know, he even said in the press conference today that, you know, they were throwing some stuff at us that we were not prepared for, or that our guys had not had enough reps at. And early in the game, you had people like Xavier Dixon and Hubbard and and even Damian Square losing containment and biting on the zone read. And, you know, they had a couple big plays early before they had that drive, you know, on that drive where they missed the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they didn't come back to that more. I think they abandoned that too early. I think they could have, I mean, obviously we would have still won the game, but I really think that they kind of jumped away from that too quickly in that ball game.
Well, and that's fair. They weren't going to win the game with that. They may have, you know, controlled the ball a little bit more, kept it away from us. I think what happened is they made it, it was a snowball effect. They made a couple of mistakes, turned the ball over. We converted them into points, and
now we got to pass.
And now we have to pass. We have to be aggressive to get back into this. We can't do this little run thing. That's really not even who we are. We have to let's be who we are and try to pass our way back into it. And by the way, we're doing this with a redshirt freshman who isn't the right quarterback to be passing ourselves. And so they just, you know, dug a hole and then, you know, climbed in it essentially is what they did. They could have cut their losses if they had decided, let's cut our losses early and stick with this running game. Maybe something emerges and then situationally come out and see if we can't pass out of it. But that's where you have John L. Smith as your, you know, your 10-month interim. You hire him as an interim coach, and he comes in and makes these sort of floppy decisions. The thing that kept coming back to me is, thank God we didn't hire Joe Kahn's under a similar type of arrangement when everyone wanted to.
Yes.
There was a lot of people in our fan base wanted us to hire Joe. And I'm not mad at Joe Kahn's, but he's just not head coach material. And the whole approach of let's hire a 10-month interim pro coach to keep everything together, you do more disruption and destruction then you think you're cobbling things together. And I think Arkansas is exhibit A of that. And I'm glad that we did not attempt something very similar a couple of years ago when there was momentum and interest in that direction.
Well, I thought the whole gamemanship at the beginning of the game was even laughable. I mean, everybody in the stands and everybody at home knew that Tyler Wilson wasn't going to play in the game. And so to keep it a mystery and to suit him up and have CBS showing him throwing passes, and John walks up to him and shakes his hand and gives him an attaboy. I mean, that was all show. Why even bother doing all that crap?
Well, it was a farce. I mean, he had the goofiest grin on his face when he saw him, like I've got a secret. I'm tricking somebody. And when Tracy Wolfson, you know, asked him, you know, right, you know, point blank before the game, he just kind of grinned real big and, you know, like, now's my time to reveal. I'm going to surprise the world. And he said, well, he's not going to play. And I, we have the luxury when we watch these, you know, from home, taking notes differently than when we're at the stadium. And I literally wrote a question in my notes. I said, is John L. Smith the last person in the world that doesn't realize that Wilson's not going to play? I mean, he just acted like a goofball. You know, it's easy to kind of pick on an opponent, but I'm embarrassed for Arkansas fans that's what they have representing their program right now.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. No, that is true. Hey, I also wanted to point out on defense, you know, we talked about Jesse Williams on that goal line play. You know, that was the play right after Ha-Ha's pick where he had hauled butt down the field to lay a block to try to let, you know, break Ha-Ha free to score.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought that was a great sign that, you know, he kind of has helped off the field and, oh, coach needs me in the I formation, and he runs right back in there. I like to see that.
Yeah, watching that, and they cut away, and you can't really focus on a player necessarily. You know, the commentators mentioned, you know, Jesse being hurt off the field. It helped off the field, and I thought, well, that's no good. And then, like, the next breath was, well, he must be okay. He's lining up at fullback. And I was like, well, wait a second.
Wait a minute. He hasn't done that all year.
Yeah. But when I saw it, I mean, it's funny. I was surprised, but then I wasn't surprised.
Right.
So, but yeah, Jesse's the kind of guy that, you know, and I know we're talking about, you know, defense, but he's the kind of guy that is Cody-like in that he just wants to be on the field and will look for opportunities to contribute.
Right. Well, hey, I'm becoming a bigger and bigger fan of Adrian Hubbard. I think I see why Jonathan Atchison has not seen the field. And He might as well go ahead and try to see if he can get his undergrad work done quickly so he can start to pursue a graduate degree in something and get all the education he can, because Hubbard is, you know, it's still early and he's getting more comfortable, but his ability to stand up with his hands out off the ground and still flash 7 yards into the backfield and blow plays up, man, he's starting to flash that quickness.
Well, Hubbard's a player, and you and I saw things a little differently in the Michigan game, but Hubbard, I think from the first game has been, you know, doing his job, contributing, and I am very pleased with the way he's playing. To consider as young as he is going to be a star.
He is. There was that one play where he was, you know, he was back off the line. He makes a flash to the quarterback who's rolling out, causes him to throw the ball away. The next play, he's got his hand in the dirt in between the tight end and the tackle. He splits right through the two of them. Neither one of them touches him, and he makes a play in the backfield. And it was like, wow, that's pretty impressive.
What else stood out to you on defense? I've got a couple things, but
I think fans need to learn who Duvall is, or Duvall, excuse me if I'm pronouncing his name wrong.
You better learn who he is.
But number 30, people need to find him with the binoculars, because I think he's going to see some more playing time as the season progresses. I like the meanness that he plays with at the outside linebacker position.
There is no question. I remember, you know, and I enjoy, and you do as well, following recruiting, and you know, we get some of the guys and we don't get some of them, but you know, kind of enjoy reading about them and learning a little something about them before, you know, maybe they join our team. But one of the things that really stood out to me in reading some of the literature on Denzel as he was a recruit before he committed was that, you know, there was just the statement that his high school coach called him a violent tackler. And I thought, well, I've never seen those two words together. I like the ring of that. I want one of those. And He seems to be living up to that.
Was that a violent tackle on the quarterback then? I guess that's what that was, right?
Yeah, it was just, you know, he hits with, you know, some ferociousness. And, yeah, and then he wears that 30, I tell you, you know, and he looks like, and he's not as big. I get it. He's a redshirt. You know, he's a true freshman. But he looks like Dante Hightower sporting that 30 out there. He's another one, you know, that's just going to be a star. And what's amazing for all the, you know, all the talk about Alabama and the system and all the recruiting that we've had through the years and kind of building up and reloading instead of rebuilding, we've played 11 true freshmen this year. And that's part of the reloading process, is we work them in, we get them reps. You know, they're not all stars from the go, but they get reps. And then all of a sudden, when it's their turn to take over a role, you know, how many defenders do we have this season that are new starters but not new to the program? And, you know, we seem to be picking up where we left off last year, which is, you know, blasphemous, because maybe we had one of the best defenses in college football last year.
I'm surprised at the number, though, aren't you? I wouldn't have thought. I know we've got a senior-like class in the current makeup, but I'm surprised that I wouldn't have guessed we had 11 true freshmen already see the field at this point.
11's a bigger number than I would have forecasted, you know, going into the season. I would have thought that, you know, we've got a lot of depth and where we have some of these guys, a lot of linebackers. We've played 3 or 4 freshman linebackers that I would have thought that we've, you know, we have more depth in that space. I think we both expected Kenyon Drake to redshirt, and frankly, he probably does. He had that, you know, carry against Michigan, but I think he probably would have redshirted had it not been for the Fowler. And so some of it's injury, and then some of it is these guys are good. You know, let's get them on the field. So by the time, you know, they're sophomores and juniors, because not all of them will stay 4 years, you know, they're ready to contribute full bore.
Well, you know, speaking of linebackers for a second, you know, and I had to go back and look at the roster here just to see how many we had exactly. And we're showing 15 on the roster. You know, you throw in Callaway, which would make it 16, but he really hasn't seen the field on the defensive side of the ball.
No, he's more than a halfback.
And so he's listed on the roster at linebacker. But if you take him out and you take the other 15 guys, you know, we've got 5 guys kind of heavy in the rotation right now. And then we've got 5 squad guys, you know, who haven't even lettered. And so that leaves five true freshmen. So we kind of got a third, a third, a third. And and to your point, I was surprised that we saw as much. We saw a little of Dylan Lee, but I was very surprised that we pulled a red shirt, I think, off Tyler Hayes in this game. And he played next to Tana Patrick for most of the fourth quarter. And we didn't see Ryan Anderson. And I don't think that we saw Reggie Ragland either.
No, Ragland's had some injury, and so I don't know that he played, but he's had some injury, and so he probably does redshirt. You know, Tyler, I think, is going to be a good player. He may need he may not burst on the scene like some of these other guys, but I think he's going to be a force. The player that I'm most surprised that I actually expected that he would kind of lead the charge for playing freshman linebackers is Ryan Anderson, and he seems to be one that we're going to redshirt, and so he may be the biggest surprise out of all the freshmen playing or not playing, the fact that he seems to be slated for a redshirt.
It makes you wonder what it is. Is it the defensive scheme or what? Because if you take out Nico and CJ and Trey, you know, on the inside, we need some more depth there, and I definitely would have thought he would have been the guy.
Well, I would have too, especially considering that he came in January and participated in spring drills. I thought that put him a couple steps ahead of the other guys. You know, he's only just a freshman, and so I'm not writing him off or anything. I think he's going to be a very good player for us. But if you had to pick one or two of the freshman linebackers to contribute, certainly he would have been tops on my list.
I also noticed some really good play in with all the extra playing time that these backups got. I love the hustle again, DJ Pettway. There was a little flashes from Fanning. It was nice to see Fanning in there, but I think DJ's reps are going to go up as well.
Sure, and he pulled down a sack, and so that was nice. That was his first career sack. You know, it's funny. It would sound like almost like a broken record as we list all these names and say, yes, they're going to be good for us. They're going to be good for us. But some of these guys, they're good today. You know, they're putting up stats. They're winning ball games today. Which is, you know, that's exciting for the game we saw on Saturday, and it's certainly exciting for the rest of the seasons and seasons to come.
Hey, real quick, we saw a lot more nickel in this game than I think I had seen in the game before. It seems like we went back to that as more of our base formation, and Vinny seemed to get a lot more snaps in this game than he did the week before.
Yeah, no surprise. We you know, Arkansas is a passing team, and they had, you know, they kind of made a little bit of hay. I hate to even say that, but they had a little bit of success doing kind of going counter to their profile. But they're a passing team. That's who they are. So I'm not surprised at all that we would, you know, play nickel against them. And, you know, like you said, we kind of call, Saban doesn't, but in watching enough of us play, I think the nickel really is our base. And that puts Vinny out on the field, and he played well. You know, I don't think you're as high on him as I am. That's fine. But I haven't seen him have a bad game. He'll have a bad play or a bad something, but he is just always in the thick of it.
No, that's true. Hey, anything else on defense before we flip to special teams?
I just have two things that I wanted to call out. Milliner was back in the game, and so it was good to see him. And Milliner on a particular play, just leveled. He just drilled Ronnie Wingo. And I got a kick out of that. And Gary Danielson, I think they had the tape queued up for it, but Gary Danielson talked about that. When Milliner got beat by Arkansas 2 years ago, it was Ronnie Wingo that beat him. And so I think Milliner kind of had a score to settle. You know, we're not going to have any more of that. And so he leveled him on a play. I thought that was very, very nice. And then there was a play. It was the first play of the second quarter. And this is kind of nuanced, but I wore on my TiVo going back and watching this again and again and again. But Arkansas, if anybody has a chance to go back and look at this, on the first play of the second quarter, our defense saw something, and they knew what the play was, and we collapsed it. It was a tackle for a loss. But the corner, if you watch the play, our whole defense migrates to where the ball's going to be. And all of this happens before the snap. The corner walks up. The deep safety rushes in. You can see the deep safety running in to be part of the play even before the ball snapped. So there's a hole in our coverage because all these guys are rushing in. The D-line shifts down, and the middle linebacker points. And all of that focuses on one spot, and that's where the runner goes with the ball. I don't know what they saw, but they saw something, and literally five or six people on our defense reacted and were fighting each other to get to the spot to make the play. And we had a tackle for a loss. And
we've seen this on scout team all week, and we've seen it enough. They've beat it into our head. We're ready for this play.
I just thought that was impressive. And that goes to, you know, just being prepared, and that they are so trained to read their keys. And NFL scouts will talk about, you know, the Alabama players are so sound because they read their keys. They don't get out of position because they're reading their keys, which kind of lead them to know what the play is. And, you know, we could probably do a whole show on that, because I think that's very, you know, I think it's fascinating. But that just really speaks to the level of preparation that goes in. And so that play to me was sort of a poster child of that.
No, it does. Hey, going to special teams for a second, you know, the first thing that jumped out to me was that play of Christian Jones, that where he had what looked like a fumble, and then they turned around and correctly called it that he was down, or I guess called it on the field correctly, but it was challenged. But that should have never even been a situation. What was he thinking? Why did he not fair catch that ball?
Yeah, I don't know on that one. He should have fair caught that ball. I was a little, to be honest with you, I was a little disappointed in our special teams play. You know, the return game, I'm ready for us to break a return, and we haven't, and then we kind of get a clumsy play there. Maybe he's ready to break one too, and so he gets a little greedy on a play like that. I thought our punting was poor. We only punted twice, which I'm okay with that, but we averaged 35 yards on two punts.
Right. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah, and there was a wide standard deviation on those two punts. They were not clustered around 35. I think one was 28, really crappy. And then so we net out at 35. So I found that to be very disappointing. I know we want to go back and do our offensive and defensive mini game balls, and rarely do we give a game ball for the specialists, but I'm giving one to Kate Foster. I thought that he was phenomenal. He hit one long field goal, 51 yards, missed another 52, but he hit the upright. And so from 50 yards out, he's 2 for 4, but 50 yard field goals, if you're hitting it at a 50% clip, that's pretty good. And both of his misses were very, very, very close. And he had the leg for it.
Right.
So he seems to be kicking with a lot more confidence. And I want to put this out here too, and I'm going to kind of
He's not doing that crazy technique stuff that, you know, where he seemed like he was, you know, whipping his leg up so much. I mean, he was just his whole body setting up to the ball, like we talked about last year. There's just been some good improvement in that.
Yeah, he last year at times, you know, he looked like he was falling out of a tree the way he was kicking, and it's just his form was atrocious, and he seems to have recovered from that. And I'm, you know, some stats here that kind of bear that out. You know, last year he had 5 touchbacks for the season, and he had 81 kickoffs, but 5 touchbacks, and he had 9 kickoffs with 8 touchbacks on Saturday. And I know there's been a little bit of a rule change in terms of the placement of the ball, but going into Saturday, he had 3 touchbacks in 14 kickoffs across the 2 games. And so 3 for 14 versus 8 for 9, he is kicking with a lot more confidence. And he came out ready to boot the ball Saturday, and he most certainly did.
Well, hey, I'm so glad you mentioned this, because we have not talked about this all season. This whole BS of moving the ball up 5 yards – because of the collisions and players getting hurt, and, you know, we got to treat them like little babies, or not treat them like babies, but I guess treat the audience or something, the violence of football. I mean, it's football, for freaking, are you kidding me? I mean, Gary Danielson said it best. He said, you know, after one of these kickoffs in the end zone yet again for a touchback, he was like, this is so anticlimactic. And I'm sitting here thinking myself, man, I mean, if you're going to treat them like T-ball, just spot the ball on the damn 25-yard line and just take the kickoff out of the football game. I hope they get rid of this shit after this year.
Well, I don't know that it's going away, and it may actually one day lead to, you know, short of maybe the fourth quarter in a close game, it may actually go one day to, you know, we do just spot the ball in the 20 or 25. I would not be surprised. That's a concession that I'll make, because I don't, but
it's ridiculous.
I'm not mad at the,
I mean, you gotta,
You got to tell me where you are with this, because I'm sorry, that's part of the game of football. The wedge, you know, guys coming down there, getting their ass, you know, getting knocked on their ass, coming on the kickoffs. I miss that in football. I'm really, it's a shame that's gone away this year.
Well, you've been missing the wedge for several years. I think anything more than a two-man wedge has been legislated out of the game for several years.
Right.
It is what it is. I'm not necessarily mad at it. There are other things that I think, especially in the NFL, is doing, and we're seeing it some in college as well, where, you know, some body shots that I just think they're calling those a little more stringent than they should. The kickoffs, I'm okay with that. That doesn't bother me so much. But let's not be too nitpicky. You know, when you got a safety coming up on a receiver and he lays a good clean hit and it's not a headshot. I mean, headshots, those should not be in the game. Let's tackle correctly. Let's raise our head. You know, spearing is something that's been in the rule books for years. There are things in the rule books. If we would just legislate to the rule books, then we wouldn't have to make up all of these other things that are done, I think, more for PR. Let's just call the game as it's written, and we'll have a lot of the injuries, I think, will actually diminish if we call the game like it's written.
Well, hey, let's go ahead and jump to game balls. Who are you giving yours to on offense?
I think on offense, I'm going to do I've got a couple of guys here, and we've mentioned them all, but I'm going to go with Kenyon Drake. I am just continue to be impressed with the level of play and even the style of play that we're seeing from him. Very excited about the contribution that he's going to have for us. I think he had three big carries, really likes to pound the ball off tackle, scored him a touchdown. I just think we're going to see more and more of him, and I think that's exciting.
All right, that's a good one. I thought you were going to try to, you know, pull a Tom and do a couple of these, give more than one game ball. You know, that's against the rules.
I don't do that.
I'm going to have to give my game ball to Ben Howe, the senior walk-on with his six carries. I think the moment for me was when he fumbled the ball, and yes, the ball went out of bounds and came back in bounds, and he still ran and picked it up, because I'm sure his butt's been chewed out in practice for 4 years for dropping the ball.
Even Danielson mentioned that that's a result of years on the practice squad, that, you know, when the ball's on the ground, you go pick it up and you know, you hope you don't get chewed out for it.
I mean, let's face it, right? He's small in stature. He's a senior walk-on. He's been beaten up by first string Alabama defenses under Coach Saban for 4 years, and he gets to come in and have his first carry ever, and he gets to have six of them. He's got to get my game ball.
That's fair. That's fair. That's a good one. Who you got on defense?
You know, on defense, I'm gonna have to give a couple on defense. I think first of all on defense, I'm gonna have to give it to D. Milner. I know he's a headliner, and this breaks the rules again, but you know, you kind of touched on it. You know, boy, this is a big difference from 2 years ago in Arkansas. He just seems like he is, after he made that big hit where he put the helmet on the ball and knocked the ball loose, and then just the physical play that he's showing, it's like, okay, he's a junior. He's ready to be the next junior cornerback to go pro. His time is here. He's ready to shine. He's just playing like a leader like he never has before.
Yeah, I agree. He's only played two of the three games he sat out against Western Kentucky, but he has really stood up and made his presence known in both of the two games that he's played. He's a good one. We're going to enjoy him the rest of the season.
My other one has got to be Adrian Hubbard. I'm not going to spend any time going back over this, just to say that, you know, he has two tackles for loss and a sack, and he disrupted several other plays, and I just look forward to seeing him play, get better and better as the season progresses.
No, that's fair. I'm going Denzel Duvall. Many of the reasons that we've talked about, he's a force out there. You know, you put him out there against some of the second team and winded offensive players, and he's just a terror. You know, three tackles, a fumble recovery, a sack, filling up the stat sheet, future star.
What do you think about the game coming up?
I want to hit you with one more thing before we go to the next game. When, and you mentioned Milner, and he knocked that ball loose you know, from Niles Davis, and it was originally awarded back to Arkansas. You know, Saban threw the red flag, got the review, overturned the call on a play. What did you think at that point? We're up 38-0. What did you think about Saban doing that?
You know, that's just Saban. I had some notes here to touch on that. You know, he gave a look to these officials like, are you kidding me? Why do I have to challenge this? It's almost like he wanted to tell the official, do the little things, right? Just like he tells his players. But it's like, come on, guys. Why do I have to do your job, too? I got enough shit to worry about over here on the sideline.
I think he probably did say that. I don't think he just wanted to. I think he did say that to him.
You know, it's just like I think it was in the Western Kentucky game. You know, it's the fourth quarter. There's a minute left in the game. And Vinny's back there doing protection on the punt. And he lets the time expire. And Saban chews his ass out. And we're up 35-0. And just like Gary Danielson said, it's a teaching moment. And so I think for Saban, he is on all the time and he cannot turn it off.
I think it's, and I agree with all of that. I don't disagree with any of that. I think it's almost his own credibility, and it's almost practicing what he preaches. You know, don't look at the scoreboard. I'll manage that. You go play, give your 100% effort on every play, and I'll take care of the rest of it. And if he would have just looked at that and said, well, we're up 38-0, I'm not going to make a big deal over that, then he's going contrary to the message that he's trying to ingrain in these players. And realistically, a lot of things can happen in the season, but if we were to take the snapshot of the season right now, the only thing that can derail us from winning a championship is ourselves and getting lazy and letting bad habits creep into how we manage ourselves on a day-to-day through the rest of the season. And something as little as that, well, where you could easily say, well, I've done enough. I don't have to do more. I don't have to go that extra mile. That can have a negative consequence over a period of time. And so I think that's just an example of Saban not looking at the scoreboard, wanting everyone to do their job precisely, the little things like you mentioned, and not letting that just, you know, kind of water under the bridge, but taking full advantage of another teaching moment. I thought it was magnificent. I thought it was fantastic. And of course, we get the ball and going and score. So I thought
it's a great message to send to the players for sure. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned the next game we're playing Florida Atlantic University, and we are favored. We are 50. Vegas has set us up as 51-point favorites. What do you think about that?
Wow, man, you know, if we were betting on Alabama football, I'd have to take the I'd have to go with the underdog there just because of the point spread. Is Alabama supposed to be favored by a team over 50 points?
Tommy, we've entered some seasons with Stallings as our coach, and I don't know if I'd get 51 points on the season.
Man, I'm telling you, I got to see some of this Florida Atlantic team because they played Georgia, and we were able to watch some more ball this weekend. And, you know, they came out in a hostile environment in Georgia, and they played pretty tough early in the game. And it was, you know, Georgia scored, they came back and scored. Georgia scored, they came back and scored. It was 14-14 early in the game, and they were giving them everything they wanted. And then Georgia started to pull away slowly but surely to put them away. And so I see this Florida Atlantic team coming out early, trying to make some plays. They've got some, you know, they can pitch the ball around pretty good. Saban doesn't feel like we've been tested on the deep ball. And so who knows, maybe they'll try to air out some deep and see what happens. But I don't see a 50-point victory here. I just don't see that happening. Saban just has too much respect for teams. I don't think deep down he's happy that he beat Arkansas by the score he did. And so I think he likes something like that, you know, 42-7 type of game, 42-10. You know, I'm going to say we slip up a little bit and give them, you know, a touchdown, a field goal, and we win 42-10.
I like that score. I'm thinking not too dissimilar from that. I think that maybe we put a little more points on the board. I'm thinking 48-6 kind of. I can see where I'm thinking two field goals. I can see where that can easily be 10. So maybe 48-10. The person who gets that last touchdown may get a chewing. And if we score another touchdown to go over the 51 mark, that player may not play next week.
Well, hey, just real quick, I just want to touch on something you said, man. I do think right now that things are setting up pretty nicely for us with this schedule. You know, after Ole Miss decided to get their ass kicked by Texas 66-14, if we can just, you know, if we can just stay healthy, we've got a good stretch of three or four games coming up here.
Yeah, and Ole Miss didn't just lose that game big, but they had a couple of players really banged up, and so they're going to pay for that. I was surprised to see Texas playing in Oxford. I don't know the full story on that one, but that one really caught me surprised. And for no other reason, I tuned in to watch a little bit of that game. But with USC losing, I thought that was I was very surprised to see that. Michigan State I thought was better than they showed, and they lost to Notre Dame. I still don't think Notre Dame's that good. And so if you look across the landscape, any number of things can happen. There's still some really good teams out there.
And you were almost right about Auburn, too. Don't forget that. And they almost lost to their high school rivalry of the week.
They did try to give that one away, it seemed. They needed the help. They needed every bit of every point that they could muster, including a Hail Mary at half. And then they barely won that game. They've got a tough road to hoe with LSU coming to town next week, and I saw we were 21-point dogs to LSU, and so that's got to not be a fun feeling.
Well, hey, man, I've enjoyed it.
Absolutely, and this has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course, Roll Tide.